Bring God's Word.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a joy to be back with you here this morning to worship our great God and King, to exalt His name together, to call upon Him in prayer, and also to hear Him speak His Word to us that we might be conformed to the image of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 13 and 14 together this morning. And I know that is quite a small passage, but I want us to really zero in and focus on what the Lord has to say to us about God's mighty deeds and what He has accomplished for us in Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit, and the confidence we have in the message delivered to us from these verses. But I want to begin our reading of the text in verse 3. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 3 to verse 14. Hear now God's holy, inspired, inerrant word given to His people. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is God's Word. Let's give Him thanks for His Word this morning. Our great and glorious God, we rejoice in the news that we have received, that You have sent Your Son into the world to save sinners like us, to save wretches like me, to restore us to fellowship with Yourself. You have truly worked a mighty deed in Your Son by Your Spirit. In the Incarnation, You made the Word come and dwell among us in the flesh. We can know You and what You are like because of Your Son. In His ministry, we heard the good news of the Gospel, that the Kingdom of God has come. We rejoice that we have heard this news announced to us. Lord, we thank You that You secured our salvation, not only in His life and His holy life, but in His death, His burial, and His glorious resurrection. We can have forgiveness of sins through Him, and we rejoice in this. But Lord, we recognize even now that You have exalted Your Son. He ascended to the highest place, into heaven, where He sits at Your mighty right hand. And You've established His kingdom where He reigns and rules with all authority given to Him, that we might live in His kingdom as the people of God, firmly established by Your will and Your word, to live underneath the gracious reign and rule of King Jesus. No longer slaves to sin, no longer in bondage to that taskmaster of the flesh, but free to walk and to live in the light, with the saints in light, in the kingdom of Your Son, Your most beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we give You thanks and praise. Amen. I don't know if you read much literature, but I'm a self-confessed literature nerd. I love to read the great works of Western civilization. I love to read the great works of poetry. And one of the great works that people often debate whether it should be a great work or not, if you don't like the literature of Don Quixote, there's a great Broadway musical you can watch and listen to called The Man from La Mancha. Also great. It's in that book that you meet, I don't want to talk about Don Quixote, though he's an interesting character. I want to talk about the character that is known as Dulcinea, or Dulcinea. This woman is a woman of ill repute. She's a harlot. She is what the world would call ugly. Not beautiful. Not to be cherished, not to be loved, not to be adored, not to be even looked at or to be associated with. She is a woman who, in the book and in the story and in the musical, that people would want to avoid, whether they want to, if they did get tangled up with them, they become like her, unlovely, unbeautiful, corrupt. But this man, Don Quixote, he meets Dulcinea, and he calls her out to live up into her beautiful name. A woman who is beautiful, a woman who, though her reputation is of ill repute, her identity is established as one who is loved, one who is beautiful, one who should rise up and live into her name, the name of beauty and belovedness. Don Quixote calls Dulcinea out to live into what she is. An image bearer. One who is to be loved, though the world would say she's ugly. Don Quixote comes to town and says, "No, you are my Dulcinea. You are the beautiful one. You are the cherished one." Everyone around Don Quixote is like, "He's a crazy man. That's not who she is at all." But the interesting thing about the story is, she hears the message that Don Quixote is telling her, and she begins to believe that it's true. And she becomes a different sort of person. She begins to live into her identity proclaimed to her by Don Quixote. And her life is transformed. She begins to live into her beautiful name, not into her past. No, that's being redeemed because her name has been given to her as one who is beautiful. Do you see the transformation? Something was spoken into her life, a truth, a message was given to her that, no, that is who you were, but this is who you are. Live into this identity. Live into this redemption. Live into this, new life that you've been given. It's probably the last message that you want to hear in your business or your place of work, that we need you to drop by the manager's office right before you leave today. There's been some change in the company. There's been some movement going on, and you're being transferred. You're being transferred. You're being relocated. Or an athlete might hear, you're being traded. You're no longer in this department. You're being transferred into another department. Now, that might not be good news to you because it means life change. It means something radical is about to take place in your life. You might have to move your family. You might have to get a new school for the kids. You might have to change a lot of things about the reality of your life when you are being transferred. But it's not always a negative thing, is it? We see in the text that, Christian, you've been transferred. Something has changed about who you are and how you relate to reality and how you relate to God, how you relate to yourself, and how you relate to the world around you. You, brothers and sisters, you've been transferred. And it's good news for you, and it's good news for me, because we have to ask the question, what have we been transferred from? Before we can make a decision about whether it is good or bad. And the text of Scripture before us says, Paul tells us that the Father has transferred you. The Father has relocated you. But where has He relocated us from? What He say relocated us to? He has delivered you. He has rescued you. He has saved you from the domain of darkness. It's the difference between being a prisoner in the gulag and being a royal member of the family living in Buckingham Palace. That's the difference. Think about it, in post-World War II, whether you were a prisoner in the Gulag in Russia, or whether you were a royal family member living in Buckingham Palace, those are two completely different realities. Those are two completely different positions and states of life. And what Paul is saying is, you've been delivered from the Gulag. You've been brought out of the domain of darkness. The place where you were sent to go and labor till you die, the Father has delivered you out of the domain of darkness and He's transferred you to Buckingham Palace. He has taken you from the depths of hell. He has taken you from the depths of a mere existence of sadness and sorrow and grief. And the only thing you have to look forward to is your last breath, because that's what you long for the most. He's taken you out of the domain of darkness. He's taken you out of the realm of death. He's taken you out of the place of your captivity. And He has transferred you into the kingdom of His Son. But not just His Son, His beloved Son. His most cherished one. The one in whom God the Father's heart delights in. The Lord has rescued you, delivered you, and transferred you into communion and union with His beloved Son. That is what God has done. You have been transferred, Christian. If you're looking to Jesus, if you're trusting in Jesus, the reality of your position today is you are no longer working in that department of death. You've been transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Do you see it? Look at what God has done. Look at His mighty deeds that He's wrought before your eyes in your life. You are no longer bound to the taskmaster of the flesh. No, you've been delivered. You are no longer captive to sin and death. No, you've been delivered. And you have been transferred out of the depths of darkness and brought to live into the palace, into the realm of where God's gracious reign and rule is established through His most cherished, most beloved Son. This is true of you, Christian. See what God has done. How has He done it? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son in and through the work of His Son. It's in Christ Jesus that you have been transferred. It's in the work of Christ Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection, that God has taken you out of the depths. Just as He took Jesus up out of the grave and raised Him to newness of life, that is the reality that happened to you. Romans 6 says, just as Christ died, you died with Him. And just as Christ has been raised, you've been raised with Him. It's your identity. It's where you stand. Do you realize what has happened to you? If you are in union with Christ, all that God has done for Him, He has done for you, raising you up, establishing you, giving you His Holy Spirit to abide and to dwell inside of you. In Christ, God has delivered you and brought you into His kingdom. This is great news for us, because we are a people who often forget and often live as if this is not true. Maybe you're agreeing intellectually, like, yes, that's true. But are you living in agreement? Are you acting in agreement with reality? Or are you just thinking, yes, that's true intellectually, but has your heart and your hands and your feet and your desires, have they been converted too? Have you been converted to the depths where you realize, I have been brought out of death and brought into the kingdom of life? I have been brought out of darkness and been brought into His marvelous light. Your inheritance is to live and to dwell and to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You're no longer in darkness. You've been delivered from that. Are you living in that reality? I think a lot of us think in those terms. But are our actions and are our desires and all our willing, is it in line with what we know? We often hear these words, but are we living into them? See what God has done. See what God has done. And just as He delivered the people of Israel from Egypt and brought them into the land, He brought them out of slavery into the land where they had to do business with the other nations. We read in Deuteronomy 6, right? And notice what God does. He saved them because He set His affections on them, and He's bringing them into the land where they need to do more business with the idols of the nations and the peoples of the nations who follow after those idols. They need to be completely cleansed and delivered from that temptation, because God did not save you out of Egypt to bring you into the land to enslave you again. Christian, He did not save you to enslave you again. He brought you out to establish His covenant relationship with you, to relate to you in a new way through His Son, that you might live forever in the reality of that truth, that you have died to sin and death into the flesh. And you've been brought to live and to reign and to have fullness of joy in the kingdom of His beloved Son. God did not save you out of the enslavement to sin to bring you into His kingdom to enslave you again. No, He's brought you that you might live in fullness of joy, in fellowship with the Son, in union with the Spirit, before your Father who has delivered you from the domain of darkness, and you've been transferred into the kingdom of His Son. When you get transferred, you have to completely reorder your life. You have to reorder the way that you think, the way that you operate. Imagine. Just imagine if, last minute change, it's the Final Four and a certain team makes it to the Final Four and they make it to the big game and they happen to be called the Purdue Boilermakers. We're just imagining. And they're going to face that other great team, the KU Jayhawks. But there's been a last minute change. Coach Painter has been transferred. He is now coaching the Kansas Jayhawks. It's not going to happen. And I'm not giving you Bill Self. But imagine if his identity had to be changed in that moment for the last big game. How he would have to think completely differently about how he is coaching this team in relationship to this team. How awful it would be if he coached the Jayhawks to actually lose against the Boilermakers. No, he has to actually take on this new system. He has to take on these new athletes. Everything changes. The game plan, everything changes. When you're transferred into a company, maybe you're bought out by your competitor. You have to think differently now as you live in that new system. Maybe you're transferred to a new school. You're homeschooled and now you're going to a private school. You have to wake up differently, right? You have to dress differently. You have to study differently. Things are different. You know, even from transferring from high school into college or from college into a master's program. When you transfer out, everything changes. You have to completely reorder your life. So do we. So do we. Since we've been transferred out of the domain of darkness, we need to think differently. We need to operate differently. Because as one who's been brought out of darkness, we can't continue to operate as people of darkness in the kingdom of light. When we consider what God has done, we recognize the glory and the greatness of what He's done, we have got to change the way that we think about how we relate to reality. And I want you to think about that. As you've considered what God has done for you, think now about where you stand. Think about where you stand in relationship to God the Father. If you are now in union with His Son, the fear of the Lord is a beautiful concept to you. It completely changes the way that you relate to God the Father. Because there's a little f fear of the Lord, which has to do with a servile fear, a slave mentality, where you fear God and you see Him more as a judge and you see Him more as a taskmaster. And you fear Him in a trembling sense where you just don't want to mess up. You don't want to get in trouble. You don't want to be punished. But that's not the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord, capital F, fear of the Lord, what we have in Proverbs and all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. The fear of the Lord that we are called to pursue is a filial fear. It's a fear of a son who wants to honor and please and relate well to his father. Not out of fear of punishment, but out of fear of breaking his heart or sinning against him. as a father and a son relate, not as a slave and a taskmaster relate. You see the difference there. If you've been transferred out of the domain of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, you have to change the way that you think about how you're relating to God as Father. His affections are set on you. Conform yourself to that reality. His grace has been poured out on you. He's not held anything back. Think about that. His mercy, He's withheld all the judgment and all the wrath that was reserved for you. He poured it out on Christ. There's not one drop of wrath left in a cup that God is going to pour out on you any longer. What mercy. What grace. Relate to your Father like that. He's no longer seeking to punish you. He's seeking to discipline you because that's what a loving Father does. Disciplines his children. Not punish out of anger, but discipline out of love. And you know the difference. Punishment is where you mess up and you get either get a strike or you get, you know, back in my day, where growing up in Kansas, we were taken out behind the woodshed. One of my sons visited with my grandfather, and he said, "Now, Levi, I'm going to take you out behind the woodshed." He goes, "Oh, what's behind the woodshed?" He did not understand. That ignorance was, that's bliss right there. But your Father is not seeking to punish you. He's not seeking to chastise you to the point where you just cry out, "Stop, stop, stop." No, He's disciplining where you say, "No, conform me more and more and more to your standard, to the image of your Son. Teach me to walk in your ways." Because discipline has to do with teaching. It has to do with instruction. It has to do with realigning your aims and your goals and your intentions. And that's what a father does. But a taskmaster just wants you to get back in line. And he will beat you until you do. But God, the Father, no, He loves you. He has delivered you and He's transferred you out of the realm of slavery. And He's brought you into the realm where you now are His beloved children because you're in union with His beloved Son. And He has set His affections on you. That's where you stand, Christian. That's your position before the Father now. And He's done it all in and through the work of His beloved Son. In whom we have redemption. The forgiveness of sins. Consider this. In Christ, you little Dulcineas, what was in us that would make God want to speak to us as beloved children? What was there in us to captivate His affections? What in our sin-sick flesh was there to make Him turn His gaze toward us in order to redeem us? To rescue us? To take us, unwanted and ugly as we were, and to take us and to wash us, to cleanse us, to empower us with His life, to bring us from death into life, out of darkness into light, out of slavery into the freedom of being a son and daughter. What was in us that He would do that? Nothing. But there's something in Him. There's something in Him that He wants to give to you. And He has redeemed you because of what is in Him, not because of what made you worthy. It's because He's a God who has steadfast love and faithfulness. And He wants to show that to the world. And He chooses you as His object of affection that He's going to demonstrate that love and faithfulness to the world through. He has grace upon grace upon grace to pour out. His resources are not lacking. It's His character. He overflows with grace. And He set His affections and His grace upon you. And His mercy. And in His mercy, we have been redeemed. You have been called His beautiful ones. He has set His affections on you. And in the gospel, through his Son, Jesus Christ, he speaks to you now, just as Don Quixote spoke to Dulcinea. Live into your new identity. Live into your new standing. Live into this new relationship with God the Father. Do you see what he's done for you? Maybe you're here still doubting if that's true. Well, here's the truth. If you're in Christ, that sin that haunts you and nips at your heels, that sin that you want to put to death, it has been forgiven in Christ. Be free from it as sons and daughters who were once enslaved to that reality. Yes, it's true. But remember what God has done for you. What has he done for us? He's redeemed us. And how did he do it? In his Son. He delivered us. He delivered us from the domain of darkness. You're free of that sin. You're forgiven of that sin. And he has transferred you. Christian, you have been transferred in Christ. Now live in light of this. How do we do that? I think one simple practical thing that we can do is take this Word of God, hide it in our hearts, meditate on it, contemplate it, think upon it, and then align ourselves with it, not just intellectually, but heart and soul, and even down in our appetites, in our guts, in our desires and our longings. We just don't conform our mind to the truth, but we conform our whole entire life to the truth. We begin to live wholly into this new identity, that we are no longer enslaved to sin. No, we've been delivered from the dark domain. And we have been transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Think upon that. Contemplate that in your hearts. And then align your life with that reality and stand there, walk there, live there as God's beloved children, because that is who you are. We often refer to ourselves as sinners. Well, I'm just a sinner. It is true. It is true. We have sinned. And we do sin. But that's not your identity. If you're in Christ, you have been redeemed. You've been forgiven. You've been transferred. So take off the name tag from the old company, put on the new one. Take off the old jersey and put on the new one. Take off the old uniform of sin, flesh, and death and put on the new reality that God has given to you in Christ. Because you are no longer sinners. But because you're in his beloved Son, you too have become children of God. That is who you are. You are Dulcinea, the beautiful ones. And God has set his affections on you. And you are a glorious people for his own possession. Now live into that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your covenant love and faithfulness. We thank you that even though while we were sinners and opposing you and rebelling against you, you came to your enemies and you spoke the word of the gospel in your Son, that you come to save and deliver sinners, to redeem them and to forgive them. You have brought us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Lord, it's comfort for those who are calling upon the Lord Jesus by faith, even now. It is comfort for us to know that this is our new identity. This is who we really are. And that you're calling us to live in relationship and in alignment with that truth. But Lord, for those of us who have not yet called upon your name, Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would awaken their hearts to see the glory and the beauty of the rescue that you're offering to us this morning. The salvation that is made available by faith in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness of sins. There is a walk into light to be had by those who put their faith in Christ. Lord, would you work this miracle in our hearts? Would you realign our minds and our hearts and our desires with this truth, that we are no longer marked out as merely sinners, but Lord, you have called us into relationship to you, to be sons and daughters. And your covenant is true. You are faithful to your people. You did it for Israel. You've done it for the church. And Lord, you call us your beloved ones. And in Christ, we are truly that. May we walk in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.